You sounded lovely. And that is good, because you tonight are my special and select chorus. Congratulations. I may or may not be able to sing along with you. I'm recovering from a cold that, in the Lord's providence, I was permitted to have before I came to the convention. Still have a little bit of a bronchitis, but any noises I make, I assure you, are coming from the joy in my heart. And what great joy we do have in our hearts. What great comfort we have in our hearts, being kept in the tender love of the true God who created the universe. And we'd just like to spend a little time tonight singing some very special hymns. And you know, hymns are really a prayer set to music. We're offering thoughts of love and devotion, thoughts of trust, thoughts of zeal to our Heavenly Father when we sing a hymn. And it's so important and so lovely for us to raise our voices together in praise to Him. God's tender love for us is expressed in the Scriptures. And I think of the dear ones of the Bible who gave us such powerful examples of faith. Brother Rafal spoke of King David earlier today. And you know, as I read the Scriptures invariably in the evenings, I turn to the Psalms. And there find David expressing the words that I want to come out of my mouth, but somehow my mouth doesn't form the words properly. But as I read these Psalms, it's as though David knew exactly how I felt and expressed the words that I want to say to my Heavenly Father perfectly and beautifully. How blessed it is that we should be called the children of God, and such we are. We must continually realize that we are the apple of the Father's eye. That when He looks upon us as we seek to serve Him, guided by the eye of faith and a heart filled with holy love, we are very precious and very tender to Him. David said, "Keep me as the apple of your eye, and hide me in the shadow of your wings." And in life's troubles, think of the intimacy and the comfort of being gathered under the very wings of the Almighty God of the universe. Who can touch us? Who can harm us? David spoke of the wings of the morning. To the choir master, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. And think of that, being hemmed in of the Lord behind us and before us. All the way of our Christian walk, has He not guided us and watched over us? And His hand is truly behind us, because all the way He has led us And trusting that he has led us wisely thus far, we realize his guiding hand is before us. And so as we go through the troubles of life, by his permission, we are always hemmed in by his hand before and his hand after. And not only so, but his hand rests upon us. This is my blessed one. What joy and what comfort we take in that. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, oh, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as day, for darkness is as light with you. You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. And don't we know it very well? Think of the miraculous nature of the human body. From two cells, microscopically small, that join together, comes forth a thinking, feeling, loving, intelligent being. It is absolutely miraculous. David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. But I don't think he was speaking merely of the creation of the physical body. I think he was speaking prophetically of the creation that we refer to as the new creation. God making a family of divine beings. His special treasure. We are the apple of his eye. And with that realization, surely God is never lax for a moment, never caught off guard by a trial, an experience that we may go through. Known unto God are all his works, from the beginning, even unto the end. His hand is behind and before. We are the apple of his eye. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. In other words, sometimes it almost seems like a dream. And sometimes in those moments of ecstasy in our studies, our worship together, our hearts and minds are just lifted to another place. And we feel like, oh, maybe I'm dreaming. If I wake up, it won't be true, but that's the beauty. We awake, and it's still true. He is with us. What a great and wonderful God we have. Let's raise our voices together and sing to him, How Great Thou Art. Thank you. That our God is a great Savior. Of those who dwell by faith, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. These are rich and precious promises, dear brethren. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And what does it say of the angels of those who shall be the heirs of salvation? Do they not always behold the face of your Father which is in heaven? He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. He shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him, says the Lord. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. And what is a name? It is the representation of the character of the one who possesses the name. Because we have known the character of the true God, we have realized the perfection of His sense of justice, His righteousness. We have known His immense power. We have known His profound, unerring wisdom. And we have known the depth and warmth of that noble and holy love that He expresses toward us. Because we have known His name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Again, let's go to our Heavenly Father and sing hymn number 120, While Under His Wings. That is absolutely true. We are safe from all danger to us as new creatures while under his wings. We think of the statement of the Apostle John, children, keep yourselves in the love of God. This is an important thing for us to remember. Yes, his promises to us are wonderful. His assurances of his deliverance are unfailing. But we must keep ourselves in the love of God. We must not presume upon the love of God, nor must we tempt the Lord our God. How is our love expressed? He that hath my commandments, Jesus said, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him too, and will manifest myself to him. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is begotten of God, and whosoever loveth him that begat loves him also that is begotten of him. Hereby we know that we love the children of God when we love God and do his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. That's so important for us to remember. The Lord has given us commands to love one another. I don't find that grievous at all. The commands of the Lord bring joy to the heart. They don't bring grief. They don't bring excess burden. They bring freedom, light, peace, and love. Whatsoever is begotten of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that hath overcome the world, even our faith. And what a remarkable, what a wonderful faith we have. And how wise our Creator who leads us all the way. Let's praise our Heavenly Father. Sing louder. I'm enjoying it. How wise are God's commands. Hymn 99. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delights. Proverbs 3:11-12. But you probably thought that should be Hebrews the 12th chapter, brother. And you're right. Paul quotes it there, continuing on. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father corrects not? If you're without chastisement or disciplines, whereof all are partakers, then you're illegitimate. You're not sons. So the disciplines and the chastisements of the Lord are not evidences of his disfavor with us, but his continued interest and guidance, his continued participation in our spiritual development. We had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they, our earthly fathers, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. The sole focus of God is not to be vindictive, not to arbitrarily chastise us, not to make us feel worthless and that we can't accomplish anything. His disciplines that he sends to each of us as he loves us are that we might, by this process, be like him, being made partakers of his holiness. He is a generous and good God. Our Lord Jesus experienced the same. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And we follow on in his noble footsteps. Hymn 228 is one of my favorites in the hymn book. I look forward to hearing you sing it together with me this evening. It casts such a lovely light on the disciplines, the sorrows that we might experience in this present life. It shows us God's purpose in them and his tender love in them as well. Let's join together in singing 228. Christian way is a way of contrasts. And I found that this statement is so true, that the darkness that we've experienced in our life shows us worlds of light that we never saw by day. The stars are always in the sky, but you can't see them during the daytime because the power of the sun overwhelms them. But we believe that they are there. It is only when the dark hours come that we look and see these jewels in heaven, each one a light, a testimony to the great Creator's presence and influence throughout the universe. I'd like to read a little section from The New Creation, page 678. There could be no such joys were it not for our blessed hopes. If our joys were dependent upon circumstances of this life merely, we should be without joy. And as the Apostle has declared, we would be of all men most miserable. It is when hope has laid firm hold upon the exceeding great and precious promises of God's word, that joys spring up as flowers in a desert, vivified by our tears, such flowers of joy and blessing as the poor world in its wilderness condition could not produce or even imagine. And as our joys depend upon our hopes, they depend also upon our activities. It's not sufficient that a promise has been left us and that our hope has grasped the promise. By divine arrangement, the joy which springs into being through the implanted hopes and prospects must be nourished by prayer and by activity in the Lord's service. Our Lord indicates the close relationship between prayer and the perpetuation of our joy, saying, "Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." When we read these promises, we have great cause for gratitude. Our closing hymn this evening, 324, expresses those thoughts. Shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The Father himself loves you. Amen.